can hear myself. Amen. No, nothing interferes with me. Amen. It might get some feedback. Maybe turn it down just a slight bit. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. I sure am glad you're here. Hope you got some encouragement this morning. And I believe you're going to get some encouragement tonight. Okay, we're in a war. Ephesians chapter 6. We're in a war. Who are we fighting? Huh? The devil. We're fighting the devil. We're fighting the flesh. And we're in a fight against the world. Ephesians chapter 6. And you got to make sure you're fighting the right enemies. Amen. Key verse is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. We just sang it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. A lot of people look in self-help books. They watch self-help programs trying to prop themselves up. And they're missing the power of the Lord. They're missing the power of His might. Now, as I've introduced this subject, all of us are in a four-fold war. We're fighting four different fronts. Hitler did something stupid when he tried to fight two fronts. Amen? We have four angles of attack. The first one is from within. The first enemy I have to fight with, I was born with. Amen? And I'll struggle against that enemy till the day I die. Will I ever get the victory over self? Never. Not totally. I can have victory. I can actually live in victory. But I can never say, I've arrived. I can never say, I have no sin to struggle against. Amen? And sin isn't what is out there. It's what I want in here. So there's a struggle with self. That was throughout the whole book of throughout the whole chapter 5 in Ephesians. It moved then to another realm where there's a battle, and that's in the home. And your battle's not really with the other people in your home. It's the spirit behind them. And it's the spirit in you of how you react. Amen? So we learned about the Christian's war at home. What's the first thing? What is the thing that God in His Word commands in order to win the fight at home? What's the battle word? Submission. You don't seek revenge. You don't seek the first strike. You don't seek to be right, even though you may be right. It's come under. Because God resists who? The proud. The moment you stand up for what are your rights, God's against you. Now God will help you if you come under. You take your position under God and under your husband, under your parents. Christians war at home. The reason why a lot of women can't find themselves submitted to a husband is because they've got a husband who won't submit to God. And I understand that problem. But there, we talked about all that and about the right way that we operate in the home. Then we talk about the Christian's war at work. And listen, if your workplace is heaven on earth, I envy you. Most people in their workplace, it's hell. You go visit Despina and Dixon's, and I mean the filth spewing out of those televisions and the music being played, it'd make anybody go insane. And then the filthy mouths, there's a fight going on. How do you fight it? You just can't go right up to them and slap them. You may want to, amen. But that's not how you fight the war there, and God tells you how to fight. Earn the respect to your boss, and then when you ask the boss to turn down the TVs, he'll go right ahead, man. You're my best employee. Amen. Amen. There's a way to fight and win. Now we're moving on to the biggest battle of all, and that's the Christian's war with the devil. And that's this last section of Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. And last week I gave you an introduction where we have a powerful enemy. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why would I have to have His might? Because I'm up against a creature that is more powerful than any and every enemy you've ever faced. As a matter of fact, you need to mark this down in your head. We know God is almighty, but Satan is the second most powerful being in this universe. You don't play with him. You don't just say, oh, he won't bother me. Oh, he'll make mince out of you. He's good at it. So we have a powerful enemy. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We'll talk about that in a minute. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, plural, there are a lot of them, against powers, plural, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, in repetition, he says, now you understand why I say, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what is our thing that we should be doing? To stand. All right. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and let's ask God to teach us some things from His Word tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. God, where would we be without the truth? Where would we be if we were just meeting trying to find the truth, trying to find You? We'd be lost, and we'd be, no matter how much effort we put out, we'd be no closer, no matter how long we'd put out trying to find You. You had to reveal Yourself to us. You had to come our way. You had to give us Your Word. You had to interrupt our life. We would not have known You outside of Your work in our hearts. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord, that You gave us a perfect Bible. You gave us something that, it takes some study, but wow, does it change the life. And Lord, right now You're going to teach us and speak to us about some serious things. And I pray we take it serious. We take every word here seriously. Lord, the fight is deadly. Even Christians are falling aside. They're not losing their salvation, but they sure are losing their joy. They're losing their families. They're losing their purpose. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their mind. And we're more than conquerors. It shouldn't be that way. Lord, just give us some powerful principles tonight as we look at these weapons in this armor so that we don't lose. The only way we're going to stand is if we take heed and we obey every word here tonight. Help us, Lord. We may not be able to go forward all the time, but we never want to go backwards. Help us, Lord, to stand in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Christian is a powerful enemy. We've talked about that. We know who the leader is. There's a mastermind behind everything that happens in your life. They talk about conspiracy theories. They talk about Rockefeller. And they talk about the Illuminati and the fifth column of terrorism, the Germans coming in and causing havoc in World War II and stuff were called the fifth column. They talk about all these conspiracies. There is a conspiracy, but it's definitely not what you expect. It's the devil. He never sleeps. He has such a vendetta against God. He schemes and plans the ruin of the plans of God. And so when the Bible talks about the wiles of the devil, it talks about something that he's had 6,000 years of mulling over in his head. And when he gets a chance to act, he's good at it. So the leader's the devil. He's got some helpers, amen? Who are these helpers? They're not angels. They're not even fallen angels. What are they called? Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers. But what's one generic word for all of them? Demons. Now your Bible word for it is little devil. Okay? Satan has the power of life, and people don't understand this, but the angels that fell with Satan, they ended up being judged where? Huh? In hell. They're in the chains of darkness right now. Satan was stripped of all his helpers, so he had to create some. So he's a cloner. He created clones, now they're spiritual clones, of himself. That's why they're demonic. That's why they're little devils. That's why the Bible would use a phrase and it'd say, he hath a devil. He didn't have the devil, but he has a little devil in him. And these things are just, they are the most incredible network of spiritual forces. God didn't make them. These are not fallen angels. These are something that Satan created. He's the father of lies, isn't he? He creates, comes up with good lies. He's the father of these creatures as well. These little helpers are very efficient at causing havoc and confusion in God's kingdom. A principal being is a top being. Some people have names. They've actually played around with names like Beelzebub. That's a chief demon. All right? There are other demons. They actually have names for them. Whenever you go to these, or don't go to them, but you ever hear of these angel conferences? They'll name their angels. And you know what's funny? Those are angels. Those angels are named after demons. They're not angelic. They may call them Michael, but they come up with these other names. And those names aren't found in the Bible. Some other force came up with those names. Realize Satan has some helpers, and they're demons, and they are powerful. I could give you stories, and I don't like telling them, but I'm going to tell you one of them. I give you stories that make the hair stand on the back of your neck. You ready? A friend of mine, Phil Weber, didn't believe in all this. He was just a new Christian, didn't believe in all this demonic power. And he's sitting there one night with some of his friends, and he's mocking Satan. Now, he's a Christian. He's saved, but he's like, ah, the devil doesn't have any power over me and all this stuff. And the other guy was a Christian, but was messing with demonic things. You ever see these things, Dungeons and Dragons? And these Ouija boards and things? And the pastor just preached that night on demonic forces. And so the friend said, I want to break my Ouija board. And but I'm scared too. And Phil went and grabbed the Ouija board and says, there's nothing to it. And the Ouija board, you can buy it at Smith's Toys. And you know what a Ouija board is? It's two languages. It's French and German. It means a yes, yes board. It tells you what you want to hear. And there's demonic forces in there. And kids who play in that are opening a door to demonic influence in the home. But he took that board and he went like this. And he just broke it over his knee. And there was a scream. And it wasn't from either of those two. And they dropped and they ran out of that room like somebody died. There's another time. Now, they didn't understand any of that thing. And I, to this day, I can't explain it. I know this. There are powers, demonic forces. And sometimes they're in our homes. Phil Weber, another situation. Phil Weber, I went to school with him. I roomed with him. There was one time, again, Phil was with somebody else. And this other guy was a Christian, and again, Christians do some of the most stupid things. This Christian was studying rock music and backward masking and messing around with things he shouldn't have been messing around with. He thought he was going to help people, but he was into the dark things. And he was studying Dungeons and Dragons, and he got into these names and things. And just to make the long story short, while this guy was sitting there trying to tell Phil about all these dark things he had discovered, he was learning, Phil said, I don't want to hear about this thing. And there was a lightning storm outside, and the power went off. That's a time to go off when you're really talking about demons, things like that. And the typewriter typed. There's no power. And the power came back on. And it was one of the names of a demon that this guy was studying. You know what Phil decided after that? I'm having nothing to do with demonic studies. The point is this. You may not have experienced a demonic name being typed on a typewriter. You may not have ever heard a scream being heard when a Ouija board or something demonic being broken. But I know they're there. And you're going to have to start believing it, because that Bible says you better prepare for war. If the Bible says to prepare for fight, they're out there. Amen? And there are many times in our homes. There are many times in your car. When I say car, I mean the radio programs you're listening to. Demonic doorway. So he's got helpers. And my whole point in scaring you with that is to get you to take on seriously that they don't have to just reveal themselves, but they'll work on you. Most time we're scared in the dark, amen? Remember when you were a kid and you had that little nightlight? You know, a lot of adults have to have night lights, amen? They have to have the lights on, and there's a darkness that is real that you can feel. And there's a way to be delivered from it. Just do not take this thing that, well, I know about the devil, I know about demons, but I've never had a battle with it. You may. You may. But it, the more you become aware, the more you all of a sudden you'll start to sense in a spiritual discernment where you start to sense there's demonic activity in this person, at this house, in this job. Now that's not like you're finding a demon under every rock. Don't get that way. But you can start to sense spiritual forces behind people and behind things going on. And you need to know that because they're there. Third thing, he has abilities, like I was just saying. One of the most dangerous titles for the devil is what? You might remember last week? The angel of light. He's a chameleon. He's like that Cheshire cat on Alice in Wonderland. You know, you wonder about some of these programs that they say are for kids, and I mean, they are scary. But that thing, that Cheshire cat, that's the devil. He'll change into whatever you want him to be. His abilities are unbelievable. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 13, and I'll show you this. Revelation chapter 13. You know, a Christian doesn't have anything to be scared about. Why? Because the Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and a sound mind. Now I'm trying to help you with a sound mind. How does anybody get a sound mind, Brother Paul? How do I get a sound mind? By the Word of God. By knowing the truth. The devil may throw something that's scary at me. The devil may throw something that causes me to fear, but I can conquer it by going, but I know the truth. Devil, you're doomed. Amen? Somebody once said, whenever the devil tries to remind you of your sins, remind the devil of his destiny. Amen? Amen. His abilities. Revelation chapter 13, it says this. Where do we begin? Verse 11. And I have beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now this is the false prophet. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist, before him. And he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth what? Great wonders. Amazing things. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men on request. It just doesn't happen by accident. He calls for it and it happens. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those, what's the next word? Miracles. Miracles are usually good things, aren't they? Which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, an idol, which had the wound by a sword and did live. I believe this false prophet is going to walk into a room one day after the Antichrist has been killed, and he'll raise him from the dead. He'll have a deadly wound, and he should be dead, but the false prophet will walk right in there and raise him from the dead. Charismatic leader he is. Verse 15, and he had power. Here's where you get the truth. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. This thing that was once a rock now is alive. He's able to give power of life unto that image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. What a nice religion they have. And he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And we know what that number is. What is it? 666. All right, so you're reading about the power of the devil to do miracles. He can even make something that's dead alive. He has great abilities. Amen? Yes, ma'am.
Why can't God?
Oh, God would like to, and he will. But he won't be. He'll put them into the lake of fire. But it's just like, how come we can't get rid of all of these drug dealers? You know why? Because the demand's too high. People want them. Yeah, when she uses kill, I'm trying to... God created things, especially living things, to last forever, okay? Angels and men and women are supposed to... They're made eternal, so they're going to live forever. So he will one day conquer him and put him in the lake of fire where he will be tormented for forever, day and night. He will do that. But he can't do that while the human race still wants the devil around.
How you know how, like, I mean, if you don't want to think and you don't want to do things and all that, I mean, you try your best. And how then can, how can the devil come into your head then if you really don't want to?
Right. Let me describe it this way. We're like a radio that is tuned to the wrong frequency. And so it's like being tuned to some heavy metal rock station. You know, that just blasts some of the most awful music ever. Okay? We're tuned to sin. The devil just has to... all he has to do is just speak and our flesh picks it up. That's our nature. Our nature is like metal to a magnet. And so the devil works on that. Now what did Jesus give us when we got saved? He gave us a new nature. Amen? He didn't change our old nature. He just gave us something more powerful in us. He's called the inner man. He's called the new man. And it's Jesus in us. So we have the ability to choose. We have the ability to conquer and defeat any temptation that comes at us. So he didn't leave us to struggle defeated. He gave us the ability to do right, but he still waits for us to want to choose right. Okay? So the battle is still going on because the devil's wanted here on this earth. And as you see, the whole world will worship him when the Antichrist comes. It's not like they'll go, eh, we'd rather Jesus. No, they're looking for an Antichrist. Right now, they are willing to sign the Treaty of Lisbon and put a president in power of the EU who is not elected. The president, by the EU treaty, will be in power, not elected by any democratic vote. He'll be empowered by the Council of Europe, which is still not elected. They'll put him in power. It's getting very close to the Antichrist. But that's what people want. Just as long as they make sure my job is secure. That's all they care about. So it's a complicated answer. Why did God allow sin in? Because we have to have a choice. Because everything that God creates has to choose God, or else it's robotic love. It's not real love. And when the devil fell, instead of God just kicking the devil out, he says, I'm going to use him. And he'll be the other choice. So there's a lot of background there. We'll cover that in discipleship. So let's move on. A Christian has an important commission. Look at verse 11 back there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, how many ever been to London and been over to Buckingham Palace? Anybody? Been over to Buckingham Palace? A lot of you. All right. Do you know there's a guy there? I think, are they called Beefeaters?
Beefeaters.
That's what they're called. But they have these soldiers there.
Yeah.
You ever seen them? You know, they're a good illustration of what we're about to learn. Now, these are real soldiers. Their guns have real ammo. They have been trained to shoot to kill. They're not just standing there as a toy soldier. They're real military. They look funny, but they're real, all right? And those men stand there. You ever seen them? They don't blink. It's almost like... And you come up there and you can blow in their face. You could go, you're the ugliest guy I ever saw. You can knock his hat off. You can do everything you can. And he won't move from that position. So that man was put there as an example, I believe, for the Christian to understand, you know, when God puts you in a position, when God has a purpose in your life, I don't care what the devil comes at you, I don't care, I mean, if a pretty girl comes along and says, hey, what are you doing tonight, huh? What do you think? Nice figure, huh? I mean, you'd like to go out with me, wouldn't you? That man standing up there like that, ignoring that beautiful girl. Amen? Now, maybe he's sweating, but he's struggling, amen? Do you understand? The devil comes at you, and he puts you in a place. He says, I've got you as a Sunday school teacher. I better call you Lily there, sorry. Mona. And he puts you up there, and God says, your commission is, stay in that place, amen? You see that thing? Stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil likes to rob you of the blessing of influencing these kids. Like to rob you of the great privilege of it. Like to rob you of the opportunity of watching those young people grow up, live for God, marry godly, raise godly kids. And it's because you stayed true. Amen? He wants you to move. He wants you to give up and say, well, it'd be easier over here. It might be. Amen? But when the Lord tells you to move, that's when you move. When the Lord says to stand, what should you do? Stay. Amen? So, a Christian has a commission. A Christian has a place. A purpose. Amen? Like a soccer team. When you have all these different... Here's these kids. You know, here are these 9-year-old kids, and they want to play Brazil, you know, and they want to play the World Cup. And you know what the coach does? He gets them playing and he finds out, you belong here. You're playing in the backfield. You're goalie. You're forward. And he puts them in positions, doesn't he? Because if you don't give them a place to play, you know what they do? They trip over each other. They're not organized. They don't find a pattern in order to get that ball in the goal. And Christians are the same. And most of the time, our battles, are you willing to admit it? We fail at. Because we're not organized. Amen? We're not in a position. Why is Leon up here? Why is John playing the music? Why is Gina play the piano? Why is Nita and Mona and Ruth and who else? And Gina involved in Sunday school? Why is John over there right now with the teens? Why is Kevin prepared to preach and called to preach? Why do we have these other guys sitting in preacher's workshop? Why are they preparing to preach? Why? Because we each have a calling. We have a place to stand in. You know, it's wonderful when everybody takes their place. Amen? I believe everyone in these chairs has a name on it. Amen? And it ought to be filled with somebody. Amen? So a Christian has a purpose and a place. You have something to defend. You have something to fight and to die for. And Paul calls it the good fight. Amen? We fight for eternal things. We fight for the souls of men and women who are headed for hell. We stand and fight for true things that are constantly being attacked. You know, the world has got the money in, so almost every word on the television and the radio is evolution, evolution, evolution. Millions and billions of years. Why don't you stand up and be counted and say, nope, 6,000. Amen. Stand. Don't let them think that they've got a science. They haven't got science. It's a fairy tale. Amen? Stand. Stand for things like your family. Stand for the ability to serve the Lord. I think every Christian in this room ought to be serving in some capacity, some way, the Lord. If you get defeated, what should you do? If you get beat up, what should you do? Get up again. Amen? A just man will fall 7 times. So fall. Then get up. That's why, hey folks, that's why we stand for some things in this church. We stand for purity. Amen? We stand for simple worship. Say, why don't you have the drums? Why don't you have the, you know, we can have a Christian disco on Friday night. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? You know what? I stand for simplicity in worship. Nothing wrong with PowerPoint, but that's not going to take the place of preaching. Amen? I stand for simple worship. I stand for, and as a church, we stand for the innocence in our children as long as possible. Amen? I don't want my kid at 8 years old learning about all the bodily functions. Amen? Do you? Good night, man. I stand for the love of the brethren, for honoring our leaders. We stand for the King James Bible as the Word of God from cover to cover. We stand for honoring our leaders. And right now, you'd be praying for Brian Cowan. You need to be praying for him. He has a huge job. And the pressure is only beginning to come on him. I think it was easy these last couple of years for Bertie Ahern to lead. Cowan's got a huge task. You should pray. Pray that he gets saved. Pray for his family to get saved. Pray that he does right. But you know what? The Bible tells us to pray for all that are in authority. Amen. He wouldn't have been my choice. But he's there now. Amen. We stand for that. We stand against rock music. We stand against drink of any kind. We stand against abortion, against drugs, against pornography, against fornication, against sex on TV, against all the self-help philosophies. We stand against the Pope. We stand against the liberal God-denying theologians who say the Bible's not the Word of God, and we don't even know if Jesus really lived, and we don't believe in the resurrection. We stand against homosexuality. We stand, amen? We just don't come to church. We have some things we believe. Amen? Amen? And having done all, to stand. That means I need to study my Bible to know what to believe. That means I need to be in church to know what I believe. I need to be cherished. I need to be in discipleship. And having done all, have I done all to stand? You have a post. You have a position in the body of Christ that He, as captain of our salvation, has put you in. Do you know what it is? Are you faithfully standing in that post, defending against all that would attack? As a mom, you have a special post. As a grandma, watching your grandchildren. I mean, you have a miracle before your eyes. Amy and Lisa here. You have a post to stand to protect them and to keep them growing. Amen. As a dad, as a Sunday school teacher, as a choir singer, the influence of music, isn't it wonderful? Amen. That is a high calling to stand up, and you may be scared to death, but you're doing it for the Lord. Stand. Amen. Maybe as a soul winner. Man, I appreciate faithful soul winners who come out on Saturday and go out door knocking. Has God given you the call to be a preacher or a missionary, to be a witness on your job or in your school? What is the place that Christ has for you? Be not unwise, but finding, what does it say? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Find out what it is and then do it. You know, someplace, some people have problems, they compare, well, my place is not as important as that place, you know. And, you know, Leon, he's up in the front, you know, and I'm back here with the crash. And, you know, when you start comparing yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. You know, every position is just as important. You got to find out what is God asking me to do and then do it for Him. Don't let the Lord down. Don't let Him down. I love these words. Watch them again. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Let me see if I get an example. Let me borrow you, Leon. Come up here. Now, you understand what withstand means, don't you? To withstand means to repel. Okay? Now, I'm the enemy. I love being the enemy. Amen? I make a good devil. Amen? Don't agree too loud. You're the Christian. You've got people who are dependent upon you, people who look up to you, people who need you to be faithful. Amen? Now, the devil comes along and he wants you out of the way so he can get at somebody else who you're protecting. Amen? Now, to withstand the devil is to repel him. Do you understand? That's to push him back, to stop him from making headway against somebody else. So if I go for you and I want to bring you down, now you're holding your own, but you haven't pushed me back. You haven't stopped me from trying to get you. Come on. You're still not very, very good. Come on. There you go. Come on. Put some effort into it. Now, forget that I'm the preacher for a moment. Okay, go ahead. Amen. Come on. All right. Amen. Did you know Christians forget? When you submitted to God, thank you. Wait a minute, I didn't tell you you could leave. Get up here. We forget that when you submit to God, you know what you're able to do? You're able to resist the devil and he'll flee. That's a wild truth and a wild promise. Let's get back over here. Now, you know one thing about the devil? He doesn't give up. All right? He's come against you and he's come against you and come against you. You know what? Now, there comes a time when the devil may get the upper hand. Now let me win this time, okay? All right. And he begins to have a chokehold on him, and he begins to get ready to drop him. Now, watch your verse. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Okay. Verse 14 just says to stand therefore. Is the Christian guaranteed to always be able to repel any spiritual attack? Yes or no? No. Sometimes the devil will not leave you alone. He'll come from this side, he'll come from that side, he'll come down low, up, down. All day long, it'll seem like he will not let up. You cannot control what the devil does and throws at you. God will. What's a great truth you can trust about the devil's attack? Go back to Job. What is one great truth? He has to get permission from God. You can do all things through Christ is a great one, but there's one more that says, God will not let any temptation take you. To be, yeah, you will not be tempted or pressurized above what you're able. So whatever the devil comes at you, do not move from your post. Some days you'll be able to repel and win flat out. Sometimes the devil will be winning. But the key is you say, I don't seem to be winning here. But if you stay faithful, if you just stay faithful, if you just stand, you win.
Amen?
Amen? Don't give him one inch. Amen? You did. You see it now. Alright, so that is our commission. That's what we're called to do. Alright, now we talk about the tough battle. I kind of illustrated it there, but I don't need him anymore. I soundly defeated him. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Please circle that word wrestle. You know, a lot of modern warfare, you know what it is? It's long distance warfare. Did you know they have guns? We were in Spain and we went to the Dock of Gibraltar. They have guns there from World War II and later 1950s. Those guns back in World War II were able to shoot 9 miles. They upgraded the guns back in the 1950s. Those guns were able to shoot 20 some odd miles out into the ocean. You know what that is? That's safety, amen? You know, when a ship's real close, they can fight back. But these huge guns that are, you know, 50 feet long or whatever, we're shooting 20 miles out into the ocean. Most modern warfare is long-distance fighting. Do you understand that? You get a sharpshooter and he's got a gun and he's able to shoot 200 meters away. Airplane call in the airplanes, airplanes bomb from a distance. Do you know what Christian warfare is? Hand-to-hand. Sorry, it hasn't upgraded yet. Amen? So we wrestle. The Christian, it's the toughest battle you'd ever fight. You ever watch those old movies? Henry V. There was a movie back in the 1960s or whatever, it's called Henry V, and it was excellent because it was real blood and gore, you know. It was about 12,000 men put into a valley and they all fought and it looked so real. But you know, that's what fighting was. Two groups of armies on one side of the mountains, and then some stupid idiot went, "Charge!" And they all went at each other in the middle of the valley, amen? And it was hand to hand. It was face to face, and it was gory, amen? Believe me, the moment you wake up, your enemy's right there, amen? And you may find yourself wrestling. Remember, let me stay on track here. I have too many things I want to compare to. In the Christian's battle, he says this: we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So who does that rule out? Every single human being on this planet. Amen? Your wrestle is with demonic forces. So, and it makes it hard. Arguments, debates, threatenings, when people are just taking you on, that's not where the battle is. Where is the battle? Somebody tell me. It's the spirit behind them. And one of the best things to do when somebody is just having a go at you, you know the best thing to do? Pray. Pray that you don't join in the fight with them. You need to start to fight the spirit behind them. Amen? And that's an incredible revelation for a lot of people. I wrote this down. The battle is not in being right, but in turning people to the right. Amen? I don't have to be right even though I'm usually right. Amen? I have to be right. I just want to turn people to the right. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? And he died doing it. He didn't die defending his right. He died turning people to the right. If I had that goal, I might more easily give in. Amen? So, now, great point. Christian is a tough battle. You better have some tough armor. Amen? If you're going to go into that kind of a fight, it'd be nice to have some help. So the Christian has some strong armor. Let's talk about that strong armor for a minute. Just read down verse 13 All the way down to 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore take unto you how much of the armor of God?" Talk to me. All right, so you need every piece, not just bits and pieces. You need everything. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench all, I love that word there, the fiery darts of the wicked. All of them, amen? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And verse 18 says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Do you give up in prayer? I think we mainly give up because we give up in prayer. If you give up on the job, if you give up in the home, if you give up, it's because you haven't persevered in prayer. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, let me talk to you about the Christian's armor. We're only going to talk about two pieces of it. First, we've already talked about, I just want to say that everybody who gets into military battle has special training. And if you don't know it by now, every time you're in church and every time you have your pastor teaching and preaching, every time you're in Sunday school and you're teaching your kids, you're preparing them for the battle. The battle tomorrow at school. Amen? That's special training. Nobody should go into Mondays without a Sunday. Amen? Amen? When you spend Sunday at the beach in Spain, I didn't mean to say that, no. When you spend Sunday without reference to the Bible or Christians and in being a church and having your sins stomped and crushed and having your heart challenged, if that's not part of your schedule, you are never going to make it on Monday. Amen? So there's special training going on. Let me also say this. Everything you've gone through, I don't care how hard it's been, has been to prepare you for what's up. Ahead. You say, man, I thought what I went through was rough. I know three or four words the devil's got on his lips. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's the devil. He knows how to make it much worse. So I'll take what I've been through as good. Amen? I'll look at my hell on earth and I'll go, it made me tougher. It made me stronger. It made me get on my knees and cry out to God for help. And I've learned how to get help. So that when the battle gets hotter, you're ready for it. There's always special training for the fight. Secondly, God gives us six pieces of armor, and you're to put it on every day. The undergarment of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. In that day, that's what a Roman soldier looked like. He had this large shield that was extremely important. Had a sword. He even carried a spear. These guys were incredible fighting machines. He was completely prepared. If you notice, he wasn't walking around with huge armor on the feet like your knight in shining armor. This was so he could run. The Roman soldiers were incredible. They could move a massive army from one country to another country because these men weren't all heavy, weighted down with incredible amount of armor. The armor was only in key places. And the same is true in the Christian. You shouldn't be carrying around a lot of burdens and a lot of griefs and a lot of these things that you put upon yourself in order to protect yourself against being hurt. Walk light. Get into the battle light. Now there's one more thing. You know, all of these things are tied together with heavy metal, strong steel. But what bonds all of our weapons together? Prayer. So we're going to talk about that. I just want to talk about two of them here this evening. The first one is the undergarment of truth. He calls it there. He says this. He says, verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. He's talking about underwear, folks. He's not talking about a belt. He's talking about something that every other piece of weaponry is going to rest upon. Think about it for a second, okay, for just a minute. If I'm going to put on this breastplate, what's the breastplate made out of? Metal. And if I don't have an undergarment that breastplate is resting on, and I begin to move around, can you imagine? I'll hurt myself more than I'll hurt my enemy, amen? All right. So what is this foundational garment? What is the foundational armor that every Christian has to put on every day? It's truth. Take your Bible, let's look at a few scriptures. Philippians 4, 8. Go to your right quickly. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And we only get one of these done. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, what's the word? True. Alright? You better underline that word. The first thing God thinks that you ought to think about is whatsoever things are true. Hey, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Hey, they're with the newspaper. Truth, it doesn't exist in the newspaper. Honest, things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. They're with the back page in the newspaper. If there be any virtue, and if there be anything, any praise, what am I supposed to do? Think. So my thoughts have to be first focused on the truth. Go to John 8, Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 32. You know these verses. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And ye shall know the, talk to me, truth, and the truth shall make you, wow, powerful. Look at verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, we're not just free in word, we're free indeed. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Let's go to John 14 now, verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus says unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at 16 and verse 13. 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Hey, who's the author of my Bible? It wasn't King James, by the way. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of promise. So, if he's the author of truth, it's good to have the author's help in understanding truth. Amen? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself. He won't brag and talk about himself or of his powers. But whatsoever he shall hear from heaven, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, God's truth is the foundation of all we do. It's the source of confidence in winning every single battle. You know, a soldier that doesn't start with this undergarment, when he's getting ready to put on all of that armor, it all hangs on truth. You know, if you have doubts about your salvation, if you have doubts about whether the Bible's true, if you have doubts whether Jesus really lived, how are you going to fight, man? If you don't know the truth, if you don't know that Jesus is the truth, if you have no concept that every word you're reading in your Bible is true, and yet you try to go into fight, I want to go fight with the shield of faith. If there's no truth as the undergarment, there's no truth as the foundation of why you do what you do, you're going to be ruined. You're going to be decimated. God's truth is the foundation of all we do. Everything we do is built upon the truth. You know what Jesus said to Pilate? When Pilate said, are you a king? And Jesus said, if I were a king, my servants would fight. But now that you would, now I want you to know this. My servants won't fight because my kingdom is not of this world. I came to talk about the truth. Would you like to know about the truth, Pilate? And Pilate said, what are the words? What is truth? And he walked out the door. Didn't even believe in the truth. What a sad commentary. Didn't even believe it was possible to have the truth. Jesus said, I'd like to talk about the truth. Oh, man. That's the foundation of everything that Christ did. He said, you know what? There have been a lot of false prophets, a lot of different religions speaking for God. I think I'll speak for myself. Amen? He told us the truth. So, every soldier has to wear an undergarment upon which all the other armor rests. If they don't have this garment on, the rest of the armor will pinch and cut in the flesh of the soldier as he moved and attempted to fight. When we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. When we say truth, we mean we're not following cunningly devised fables. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. Hey, how would you like to hear the voice of God? And what were the words? The words that were spoken up on the Mount of Transfiguration was, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Peter continues. He says, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Verse 19 says this, "We have also a" what? "A more sure word." I've got a better word than a voice from heaven. Do you understand? Because the devil can counterfeit a voice from heaven. Amen? We have a more sure word of prophecy, and it'd be we would do well that we would take heed. Amen? The verse goes on, but let me just rush ahead. We have the very truth of God. We can confidently obey every single word in this Bible. I challenge in the preacher's workshop, it's really funny. We have the guys, I give them assignments of what they're supposed to preach on. I give them leeway. They come back and they've got sometimes a message that they really feel burdened to preach about. But sometimes, like this last guest, like today, I said, "Barry, give me your hardest portion of Scripture where it's just the most confusing to you." And Barry can find a hard, confusing portion of Scripture. And I said, "Barry, give me your toughest, your hardest." "Oh, I know the one." Went to Ecclesiastes, the most depressing book in the entire Bible, where one of the most backslidden men was used of God to show just how wasted a life lived here is. And he took us to a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I said, and I didn't know what he was doing, where he was coming from. And I said, "Let's look at it on the board." We looked at the key words. We looked at the hard words. What did he mean? We did some cross-referencing. And then we started letting it all come together. And we all went, "Wow." And all of us just went, "That was in there." And we learned to just take and realize every word of God is powerful. It has truth in it. So, the truth, folks. Without this, all our weapons, as I've already said this, will hurt us instead of our enemy. Is this not true? Once a lie gets into the life of the believer, once a lie gets into your head, everything else will fall apart. Do you believe that? Let me just play a little game here for a minute. Despina hears gossip about Pastor Greg, and without checking it out, goes to Amanda. Says, "Amanda, did you hear about Pastor Greg?" And Amanda, "Oh!" And then Amanda goes to Pat and says, "Pat, it's terrible. Did you hear about Pastor Greg?" Now, what is that going to do to us? It'll unwind us. It'll all unravel. We'll fall apart. Amen? And then, all of a sudden, Despina finds out it wasn't true. I don't get worried, amen? But the point is this. A lie can do a lot of destruction, can't it? And when you believe a lie, you are powerless, amen? That's why I like knowing the truth, amen? I may not know much, but the truth I know well, amen? So God's truth is foundation. Now again, when the Bible says put on the whole armor of God, what does He mean, this garment of truth? I don't have holy underwear, amen? Do you understand? This is not Mormon underwear. This is kind of simple. He's talking about spend time in your Bible. I'm talking about the first thing you do in the morning, you need to be in that Bible. Amen? To put truth on, you need the truth. Amen? So, open your Bible, pour the cornflakes, and put on the armor, the undergarment of truth. Amen? It's not that complicated. Fill your mind with truths before you face the day, because the day is going to be full of false shadows, strange things, scary things. Fill your mind with truth. Believe what you read. I know people who will read their Bible and they'll read it, but they won't really believe a word it's saying. It bothers me. It's just like when we sing the hymns, and the songs are so rich in trust and in promises of God, but they're and they're not believing a word of it. Amen? Make sure when you're reading your Bible, I'm not calling for you to read. I'm not calling you to read 10 chapters a day. You could. But the chapters that you read, make sure you believe. I said this one time in Revelation. Somebody said, when I was teaching Revelation, said, "Do you really believe there's a seven-headed dragon?" And I said, "Yep." "Do you understand it?" "Nope." "I don't understand it, but I believe it." Amen? That's a whole lot safer. A whole lot safer. Believe what you read. Constantly develop your understanding of the Lord. The purpose of knowing my Bible is not so that I'm a Bible encyclopedia. It's so I get to know the author. Amen? That's the whole purpose. I'm putting on the garment of truth so the devil can't rob me of my walk with God. Amen? Listen to the Spirit of truth. You know, the Holy Spirit can't speak to you. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit cannot speak to you unless He can resonate on a different frequency. Doesn't that sound cool? Out of charge for that kind of talk, amen? Right now, the devil talks to me. He lures me on my frequency. How do I get to where I can hear the Spirit of God? Somebody help me. I've already told you, but just help me. How do I, change the channel, amen? And my channel for me to learn to hear the Spirit of God is when I feed into my mind the Word of God. It's kind of like your husband has a tuning fork. Some of those frequencies are cool because different things resonate a different thing. Like, you ever had a tooth that when a certain note was played in the radio, your tooth would ache? I don't know if you've ever been that weird. But there are, you know, some of these opera singers, they can sing real loud and the glass shatters. Because that glass and their voice resonates at a certain frequency and shatters the crystal. And the more I put the Word of God in me, that's the frequency the Spirit speaks on. He speaks the Word of God. So if I want Him to speak to me, I put the book in me. Amen? So the first garment I put on, the first thing I do in my morning before I face the day is put on the Word of God. Amen? Maybe you get it on tape or on CD and listen to it on your way to work. Put that garment on. Can I give you another one? You're not too tired? One more? Oh, and discipleship. Throw in getting your time challenge. Get into discipleship. We're getting ready to start another sequence here in discipleship. And let this garment just be thick on you. Amen? For the cold times, for the rough times, you need truth. You need a good dose of it. So, second thing. Talk about this breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness. Look at Isaiah 59 and Psalm 15. Let's go to the left. Find Psalm 15 in the middle of your Bible first. Psalm 15 and then find Isaiah 59. Some people say that when Paul was in prison, he was looking at a military soldier like what I just described for you, this guy. Where is he? Go back. And you know, he saw the Roman soldiers, and so he imagined, well, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and he took his cue from a Roman soldier, and I don't agree with that. He took it from the Word of God. Let me show you. Take your Bible. Let's go to Isaiah 1st, chapter 59 and 17. Isaiah 59 and 17. For he put on righteousness as a, hello, oh man, he's talking about Jesus, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. He's describing somebody getting ready for a fight, and it's our Lord, amen? It's the Messiah. But he put on righteousness as a breastplate. So, we're going to talk about our righteousness here. Let's go to Psalm 15, and let's listen to what God wants. If you want to get close to God, look at this. Psalm 15 is a great challenge to us to see whether we have a right kind of life in order to get close to Him. Look at Psalm 15, verse 1. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh what? And speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. You know what backbite is, don't you? That's not just gossip. That's when somebody snaps at you and you snap back. That's backbiting. Now maybe somebody says something about you and you can't face them, so you start to spread gossip about them in order to bite them. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Won't listen to somebody say something bad about his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. That means he's hated. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt, and he changes not. He that puts not out his money to usury, doesn't make money off of people because they're in a bad situation. Now you can make money off the bank. Do that all you can because they're making too much money. Amen. But putting it out to individuals, man. Nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be. I wonder if that's a good cross-reference for, and having done all too. You know, in order to help me so that I stand, I need righteousness. Amen. And God has Paul compare it to righteousness. Now there are two kinds of righteousness. What's the most important righteousness? Despina. I know Dennis knows it. Huh? You're halfway there. You're actually all the way there. I just want another name for it. It is imputed righteousness. It's inherited righteousness. I didn't do anything to get that righteousness. Amen? So if you're going to fight the battle, you better know the righteousness of Christ. Listen to this word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, in order to get saved, you need to have His righteousness put on your account. Such a wonderful thing. It's called imputation. The second kind of righteousness is, I'll come back to you in a second. The second kind of righteousness is personal righteousness. Do you ever notice how hard it is to live for God after you watched something filthy on television and you knew you shouldn't have? After you picked up and you read a book and you said, why'd I even read that stupid thing? Now my head's got all that story in it. Now I gotta struggle to get it out of my head. Amen? You ever notice how powerless you are after you've sinned? Have you ever noticed how powerful you are when you repel and you resisted sin? Amen? Personal righteousness. Real quick. Yes, sir, Brother Dennis?
In the sense of putting on Christ.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the helmet of salvation yet. Haven't gotten to that yet. But we're going to talk about how the devil does work in our head. You are always miles ahead of me. You're good. You're good. You're just too good, brother. Let me talk about that breastplate here for a second. It is the breastplate of righteousness, and it has two kinds of righteousness that we're trying to understand. And one is, the first one is the righteousness that we have to have because we're saved. Amen? And that righteousness, nobody, I don't care how religious a person may be, if they do not have Christ's righteousness, I don't care how good they may be, the devil has them. Amen? They're only deceiving themselves. They're a traitor. They're trying to act like they're for God, but they're like Paul. When he was Saul of Tarsus, he thought he was doing great things for God, but he was doing things for the devil. Amen? So self-righteousness without Christ's righteousness is filthy rags. But when I get the righteousness of Christ imputed to me, when I get born again and God just dumps on me the name or the title forgiven, man, what do I do with that life now? That is a chance for me to develop now personal righteousness. Did Job have personal righteousness? Remember God? He said, hey devil, where you been? Oh, I've been all over. Have you considered my servant Job a perfect man? Upright, eschews, hates evil. Pretty good guy, isn't he? That was what Job was known for in heaven. I wonder if anybody takes notice of us in heaven. Amen. One of the great things that Job had, he had a great attitude. He had a clean mind. He had a clean life. He was not sinlessly perfect, but he was living by the law. Amen. Our spiritual breastplate is strengthened as we obey and we do right. Folks, do you understand? The armor that I have as a breastplate against all my vital organs, the purpose of that breastplate is to protect the soft and very delicate organs in my body, namely my heart. You know, the best way the devil will get at your heart, get you to sin, and then your heart's all cut to pieces because of guilt. Amen? Amen? Shame is no fun. Amen? Some people don't even come out on a Sunday because Friday or Saturday, they blew it, and they just don't want to be seen because their heart's in pieces. Amen? But if they had the victory on Friday night or on Saturday, man, you'd see them coming in, woo, I'm ready to sing, preacher. Amen? They're strong, aren't they? Our armor is weakened when we disobey and we turn away from God's commands and we decided to do it our own way, and our armor becomes paper thin, and all the devil has to do is just sneeze and we crumble. Realize that you are given righteousness through only one means, through forgiveness. Amen? You are given righteousness when you are forgiven. Praise God, man. Use forgiveness to defeat the wickedness of your enemies. Amen. You know, when your enemy seeks to hurt you, and he hurts you through somebody that is important to you, somebody you love, somebody who, like your children, or your wife, or your husband, when they hurt you, you know what you need to do to strengthen your armor? Forgive them. Amen. That's the only way to strengthen that armor. Do you understand? It is super powerful. We got to take this seriously, man. This shield was given to protect our heart. Summary. Let me just get to this. How do I put on this piece of armor? Okay? We learn about how I put on the garment of truth. Celine? How do I put on that undergarment of truth? All right, now I'm getting depressed. Get into my Bible. Every morning, the first piece of armor I need to put on, kind of just imagine it. If you are going out, you ever seen these guys, you ever seen these movies where these knights are getting ready to take these big poles and ride on these horses and charge at each other and try to knock each other off the horse? Before they ever, you know, those were really weird days, okay? Those were the original play chicken games, you know? And before they ever did that, you would see them putting on that armor piece by piece. And there's a lot of work involved. And in the morning, you're going to have to visualize, alright, what's the first thing? Alright, I got to get my Bible. Pull it out. Where am I reading? Alright, I'm in Luke. I'm in Luke chapter 6. Good. I'm picking up chapter 6. I'm getting at least one chapter in. I'm going to get some truth in this head of mine. Amen? That's the first garment you got to put on. Second garment is the second piece of armor is my breastplate. And if I'm going to strengthen my heart, I'm going to have to confess some sin. Amen? You need, after you've read your Bible, you need to get right with God and just say, Lord, I had a bad attitude yesterday, and the day before, and the day before. And you need to confess it. Amen? If I'm going to have a strong breastplate where my heart is strong, I need to rid it of everything that will weaken it. And the first thing that will weaken it is unconfessed sin. So if you want to put on this breastplate, get clean. Amen? Because when you're... How long does it take, Bill, for me or you or anybody to get clean, to get right with God? Amen. And just like we learned this morning, when you just turn and obey, it doesn't take days or weeks to get it all the record clear. You can get perfectly cleansed. Amen? In one fell swoop, just by asking. Amen? So, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If any man says that he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful. That means he's instant every time. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness, guess what I'm able to wear now? A breastplate of righteousness. So, when you have gotten into the Bible, the next thing you need to do is confess your sins to God. Hey, you may need to go and confess your faults to somebody that you've hurt. Make things right. Amen? If you get up from prayer and you look at somebody and you go, oops, I haven't settled an account with that person. It'd be good for you to go to them and say, you know what? I just got convicted. I said something yesterday that I shouldn't have said, and I'm sorry. Can I make it up to you? Amen. You know what you've just done? You put another layer on that breastplate. It is stronger now for the demonic attack you're now ready for in the rest of the day. Third, empty your heart of regrets and remorse. Look at Job real quick. Job, go back to the left. Job 27. Job chapter 27 and verse 6. My righteousness I will hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. You know what Job is saying? I'm not going to let this heart kill me. My heart knows I fall. My heart knows I fail. But I'm not going to let my heart be my enemy. That's a good word. I'm going to stay right. I'm not going to let my failure pull me down to where I'm now, oh, I'm just a sinner. I'm forgiven, man. I'm free. I know I'm a sinner. You don't have to tell me. You can point out all day long, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to let my heart reproach me or constantly condemn me. I'm going to get that thing right with God. Amen? Fill your heart with Christ's righteousness. Get your purity from Him. You know, you read that Bible, you'll never come out filthy. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, by obeying. Taking heed thereto according to thy word. So, fill your heart with Christ's righteousness. You already read your Bible. Now you're confessing sin. All of a sudden these things are working together. And I'm right with God. I'm pure. I'm cleansed. The more I read, the more pure I am. And we're just going to conclude on some thoughts. We have a powerful enemy. We have a great commission to stand against the enemy. We have a tough battle ahead. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere along in this week, you're going to fight a wall. And you're going to find that wall is moving, amen, and it's coming against you. And your goal is, I want to be able to stand. I don't want to lose ground this week. I don't want to go back to the way I was last week. I don't want to say the things that I said last week. I don't want to think the things that I struggled with last week. I want to stand. Amen? The Christian has strong armor. Thankfully, you're not doing it alone or under your own power. You're doing it in the power of the might. Fill your mind with truths from the Bible. Fill your heart with forgiveness. Those are the two that we've looked at tonight. There's four more pieces of armor to put on every day. And if you'll do that, maybe even your dog will get right with God, amen? If you'll do that, your day will go infinitely better, amen? Will you believe that? Will you believe that? That's where your battles are fought and won. Before you even go for the battle, you put on your armor there, nothing will stop you. You are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.